Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Friday, February 23rd, 2024. Look who it is. You know her. You love her. It's none other than Timmy.
Hi.
Lynn with the hyphen. And have you ever seen a cuter space between the front teeth than Tammy Lynn's? That's the cutest space these old eyes have ever seen, Tammy. I just love that space between your front teeth, and you know it. You know I do.
Hi,
it was
everybody.
A surprise. It was a surprise. Anyways, this guy.
What's a surprise? My space?
Let me tell you something, Tammy. Where have you been? Like, tell the studio audience, all your fans, where have you been? This is Tammy's MO. She gets in her car, she puts Keisha on full blast, and she looks at me and goes, you want anything from the store? I'm just like, yeah, give me a Dr. Pepper, a couple chocolate bars, and a pack of smokes. 2 months later, Tammy rolls in. Where's my Dr. Pepper, Tammy?
You know what I always do when I leave? I honk my horn twice. I go, beep, beep. And it drives him nuts.
It does drive me crazy because I know you're gallivanting around Southern Ontario doing stuff and things like lipstick, nail polish, frilly lacy things, bonbons.
Dirty nails.
Someone
right
asked me, Where's Tammy? Is in a mall somewhere getting her nails done.
Oh, that is so not true.
Acts chapter 15, man. Let's do this. Now listen, the Companion Chapel is a registered nonprofit ministry. Whatever God-given talent you have, God expects you to use it in the member body of Christ. Help get the message of Christ's love out there to a hurting world. It starts with you. Let's get this done. Acts chapter 15. Are you ready? This is big. This is a big chapter. And I'm going to try and control myself here, Tammy. Let's see what we can do. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Here we go. Let's just hit this now, because this goes through this chapter about being circumcised. First off, you're leaving half the population out, right? What about females? Okay, so these guys coming down, acting all churchy church, they haven't read Jeremiah chapter 4, they haven't read Deuteronomy chapter 10:16. Hey, that was Moses that read that, Mr. Scripture Lawyer, right? And Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, it's circumcision of the heart and of the ears. Now, what circumcision is, it means to purge or get rid of something of an unwanted quality or condition or feeling. Now, used physically of the male foreskin because it was regarded back then as unclean and profane. It's not like they had showers all over the place when they were in Egypt. God said, okay, this is an identifying mark that we're going to put on. 2 million people came out of there. That's a lot of people. Okay, this is a sign of obedience. It's a sign of identifying mark. It's a sign of purging something. And when you talk about it, spiritually speaking, remove vain thought patterns, cleanse, purify, wash. You know, they had to work and build those bricks with, you know, all that labor in Egypt, which is like 150 degrees, I believe. 100. Yeah, so they didn't have, you know, it was just no hygiene, right? This is why that was back then. And that went up through into Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay, then it's like an 8th day thing. If you want to do that, that's fine. But what about people that didn't have that opportunity? And we talk about, say, we're going to get introduced to Timothy here. He's big in the Bible, man. He's got his own book there that Paul wrote to Timothy, right? And Timothy's mom and dad, or mom and grandma, that's Eunice and Lois, taught Timothy from a young age. But they were married to a Gentile guy. So, like, it's just, say, a Greek guy. He might have been a good guy. I think he was a good guy, obviously. And he would have interfered with Timothy getting circumcised. Like, that cut. So what? Right? Like, so what? So what I'm saying is these guys coming down, putting this burden on new Christians. It's like, I was a preacher in the park. Remember, I used to take my Bible to the park and some crosses. And anyone got any questions here and talk? Can you imagine if someone said, and a lot of people just say, oh, I'm really interested in learning. And yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And I believe Jesus Christ died for our sins, you know? And then all of a sudden I said, okay, now, if you want to be a Christian, see that drunk rabbi over there smoking a cigarette with the rusty
razor blade
in his front pocket. Okay, now you get in the bathroom stall farthest from the door with him, and he's going to cut you in your dink and now you're a Christian. Can you imagine? There'd be no Christians whatsoever. There would be none. With their Tammy.
Couldn't you say dilly or something like that?
let's just get it down where the rubber meets the road. These guys going around trying to interfere with God's word, trying to interfere with the many-member body of Christ. It's circumcision of the heart over and over. Even Moses said, these guys are saying, oh, manner of Moses. Well, we're saying the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 10:16, Deuteronomy 30:16, 30:6, I mean. Hey, it's of the heart. You get rid of what is covering your heart and your ear from landing the message of Christ's love into you. Perfect in righteousness, perfect in trustworthiness. That's what we're talking about here. But these people want to interfere. Here they come, these scripture lawyers. And they're not even good lawyers either, because they're skipping over four verses that they should know. And of course, the book of Romans talks about it too. We talk about this all the time. As soon as we come down to this word, circumcision. But that's enough about circumcision, because we're going to go over it again. When, therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation, they're arguing with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and others shall go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Like, what a monumental waste of time. Do you see what lawyers do when they cast doubt on the truth? It's just the same on a world stage today, isn't it, Tammy?
It is.
They just cast doubt on the truth, and they just everything stops in its tracks over something that is just beyond all reasonable.
But who is stopping it? Why is that happening? Satan.
Yeah, Satan is the magistrate of the world. He is the great lawyer of the world. He is the one that first cast doubt on the truth. That's his death sentence. Huh?
Bingo. He's the one who cast doubt on the truth.
Yeah, that's
right.
Why
do you think these lawyers and people who don't want others to turn to Christ, what do? Cast doubt on
the truth. They cast doubt on the truth. That's what he did. That's called profane the sanctuary. Ezekiel chapter 28. That's called slander. And God considers slander against his word, murder flat out. Just ask Satan, Ezekiel chapter 28. Hey, here he is, Satan, created in the full pattern of beauty and wisdom in the highest supernatural order. Smarter than Daniel the prophet. What do you do? Challenge God's sovereignty. And 1/3 of us followed him. We couldn't be trusted. And here we are today, trying to get back to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. Try to get back into harmony with the universe. And here is your employee compliance form. Anyway, these guys are always going to be around you, just asking questions and casting doubt on the truth. And remember what it said in Timothy. Here, help me out here, Timmy. Remember Timothy, when it said about that, because we just spoke of Timothy, if I could find it, about rightly dividing the word. And you know I don't like saying that, rightly dividing the word. And rightly dividing the word is one word, that's orthothmeo, and it means to have a linear progression towards the truth, teaching directly and correctly and in context all the time. And then it goes down to verse 23 in 2 Timothy, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. All they do is cause problems. Don't even bother. If someone hasn't earned their spot in the many-member body of Christ and they just want to start asking questions about things, say, listen, man, read it. It's one book. You've had decades to learn one book, and you've spent tens of thousands of hours with a remote control or a mouse in front of you looking at a screen. You know, that's on you. That's on you, okay? At least earn your spot to ask a question. And be, like, I'm mostly, like, condescending questions. Like questions from the heathen, you know, like, oh, let's just get through this chapter. And being brought on the way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of all the Gentiles, and then they caused great joy unto the brethren, many member body of Christ. God wants his children back. They can only be reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. All the angels rejoice when one of us repents. They're just right there beyond our current perception of physics. They want their brothers and sisters back so we can get on with the affairs of time, to cohabitate with God in his circuits of time, as it's written in Psalms chapter 90, in a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. Hey, if you don't like it, no problem. Dude, no problem. You don't want God in your life, you don't like this book, you say there's some things in here I don't agree with, then you put a death grip on a pen when you're laying there and you're sucking back your last breath, because you're going to need it, because you're going to go up to Jesus Christ like this. Jesus, you know what? Yeah, there's some things that you're going to have to sit down, Jesus. There's some things in here I don't agree with, you know. And we're going to start to bring a marker. A big black marker. No, Jesus. Okay, are we ready to continue on with the affairs of time? Because me, Mrs. Big Shot, or Mr. Big Shot, doesn't like some of these things. Well, you're in for a heap of hurt, and you can go and be comforted in the nether parts of the earth, as it's written, in the lake of fire. Lake just means harbor or haven, and fire just means Isaiah chapter 9 and James chapter 3, the internal passion of the mind. You're burning emotion. You can't be wrong. Your ego is so ginormous. You think that what you feel should be true. There's a huge disconnect between what's true and what people want to be true. And because they have a huge ego, they'll just believe what they want to be true. And that's all there is to it. Like, wisdom is the process of finding out your intuitions were wrong. And go to Proverbs chapter 9:8. Don't even bother to try and reason with a scorner. You know, I've had this on the website. I think one of the first things. I don't know if it was what website it was. Don't even try and reason with a scorner. I think it was Quora. You know?
I don't know. Because I remember.
This is one of my favorite ones. Proverbs 9:8. This is like, don't cast your pearls before swine. Like, the mockers are the ambassadors of arrogance. They will hate you. And the Hebrew word for hate is sane. And you can see it on them. When they just don't want to be corrected. And they get... That's a personal hatred. They do it. They feel it. You can see them turn red. You can see them get angry. They can't be corrected. There's a place for you. You can take those ideologies into the nether parts of the earth with your burning emotion, and you'll be comforted there because you just complain and whine for eternity with other complainers and whiners and murmurers that walk after their own lusts, as it's written. Okay? So, you know, we pray for everybody. Don't you think otherwise? We want the whole human family to come back to God, because it hurts them. Isaiah chapter 22. It hurts them that people are going to end up over there, but there has to be a great separation of people. And we talk about this a lot. It's really daunting. It really sucks. Like, people that we love, and we know there's going to be a great separation of people. And how's it work? You exhaust your caregiver. Like, you just... following your own heart. I believe in myself. Whatever I do morally should be the gold standard for society. And we have all kinds of people like that today. Anyway, let's get back to this here. Okay, great joy. Okay, there's people coming together in the many member body of Christ. And what's the instructions from God? Assemble yourselves, my peculiar people. And the book of Acts really hammered that home in the first few chapters. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared unto them all things that God had done with them. Okay, man, we're having a talk. We're coming together. We're talking about things, thinking about things. We're not saying, hey, man, let's get a case of beer, pack of smokes, and let's just go do whatever, right? We're talking about God and what God has done. Those are the signs and wonders and what we're doing for God. We're God's servants. We're out there doing something. Be somebody. But they rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, here we go again, and believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. Here we go with the circumcision again. Like, why don't they just take the book and open up to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 6, or 10 or 30, verse 16, and go like this and just pound it right in. That's what I do. You know, phone book them like the cops used to.
Oh boy, let's move forward.
Say, like, can't you read this? Like, can't you guys read this? You know, everybody that's going to be a Christian and they're 25-year-old or 30-year-old or all the people in the park say, okay, now you got to go get caught or you can't be one of us. That's just ridiculous. It's circumcision of the heart. Open up your heart to the word of God. That's all that's being said. It couldn't be any easier than that. Okay. These guys, I wouldn't have had the patience for these guys, but they did. And of the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. Like, how are we going to deal with these blabbermouths? And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Acts chapter 10, through Cornelius and those three dirty vessels. Don't call anything common or unclean because they can be cleansed. It has nothing to do with the food laws, okay? And God, knowing which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit also as he did to us. They got the Holy Spirit too. They got the wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, and strength to get back to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. That's where we want to go. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith, not cutting their, I don't even know what to call it anymore, politely.
Willie?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Purifying their hearts by faith. Jeremiah 32:39. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may revere me forever for their own good. Ezekiel 11:19. Cast away all the detestable things, all your ideologies thereof, and all the abominations thereof. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. The Holy Spirit, the intellect of your soul. The Holy Spirit, the governing index of your inward thoughts, feelings, and intentions. Your active attitude that motivates all actions. The Holy Spirit. Instead of following your heart, follow God's heart. God knows best. It is irrational to think you know more than God. And people think that all the time. And God cannot reconcile irrational people. Those who heart walk it after the heart of detestable things and their abominations, they get what they deserve because they like it. And you're never going to believe what this word abomination is. If we can get a few verses done more here. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Yeah, what are they supposed to do? Go around, you want to be a new Christian? They got an X-Acto blade sticking out of their front shirt pocket. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you want to be a Christian? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's such a burden.
I'll do it. Give me the knife.
No, I'll do it. No, man. Okay. Do you need Deuteronomy 10, verse 6? Just like...
Give me the knife. I'll do it.
That's old school cop style. Phone book. That's called Bible thumping. Okay, 11. But we believe that through the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as them. There we have it. Shall be saved by Lord Jesus Christ. He is your Savior, your salvation, your deliverer, your Redeemer. He took the stripes for us. He laid down his life for us. He paid the price for us. The ultimate price. Innocent.
I thought you were going to burst into song there for a second. Because you're getting a little rhythm going.
Huh?
DJ.
Don't embarrass me, Tammy.
Okay, keep going.
In front of everybody.
Keep going.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right?
Go.
Then all the multitude... Oh, that rooster. You guys, both of you guys just wrecked my chi. Then all the multitude kept silence, and the audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Miracles and wonders, that's signs, Simeon, and wonders, that's the significance of work and their effects that you see on people. Okay, it's a big deal. When people change, when they turn their life over to the Lord for real, when you submit with an unquestioning obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ for real, and surrender your entire existence over to the Lord Jesus Christ for real. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, you are the only one I trust. You're the only one I truly love. I surrender my entire existence to you. You'll see a difference. Okay, you're going to see the significance of this person is now changed. It's called being born again. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. This is the James and his brothers Jude, the two crustiest guys in the Bible. They don't hold any punches, man. They let her rip. Now, this is the Lord's brother. He's saying, hey, yo, hush up. I got something to say. Simon hath declared out God. That's Peter, the guy we just talked about, okay? It's not some new guy here. You're making me sweat, Tammy. Simon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them people for his name. That's Acts chapter 10, and it's spread through there, through Cornelius, right? And now we have a mash, okay? So we've got a mash of prophets here, and we're going to go over this mash. And that's very common in the Bible. Other people that wrote it down used a mash of the prophets. But the first part of the mash here is Amos chapter 9. We're going to go over this. And to this agree the words of the prophets, see it's plural, as it's written. Okay, so from verse 16 to 21, we can go to a lot of places. I picked a few, but let's just go over this. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I'll build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up that the residue, that's the remnant of truth right there, translated properly, of all of us, mankind, might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. The remnant of truth. Listen, this word tabernacle doesn't say throne. It doesn't say house or big church. Tabernacle, that's tent. So it's significant of how low the condition of Christianity has become today. That's what's being said here. And it's going to be the Millennium Temple and then the Eternal Temple. These are promises written in the councils of eternity. We're talking about the remnant of truth. There's hardly anybody left that honestly cares about God. Like, when it comes down to it. And it's the saddest thing. Just knowing there's going to be the great separation of people. And the worst ones are these alleged Christians who sugarcoat the Bible. That's the worst thing you can do. And you're the cause of huge percentage of the atheism on planet Earth today. It's because you sugarcoat the Bible and people just laugh at it. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I agree with you, atheist. It is the stupidest thing. It's too bad that people don't understand this one book, and judgment starts at the pulpit. Okay, here we go. All the Gentiles, who doeth all these things? That's us, doeth. You know there's an action there. You see there's a call to action there. Do it, supporting God's word, getting out there. That's your call to action. Knowing unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. God knows what he's doing. He's getting rid of the evil in the world by letting it play out. Evil will burn itself out from within. Everyone says to me, you know, people are complaining, oh, if God would never let that happen. I heard in one of the most popular podcasts on planet Earth today, saying, if there was a God, he wouldn't have let that happen. Let me tell you something. God's not running a daycare here, okay? All the evil in the world comes from the human heart. God is allowing it. God will not violate the principles of free will, and you cannot violate the principles of God without consequence. Evil has to burn itself out from within. That's God's plans, plots, and purposes. If you want to play into it, then there you go. You can have it. Bad things are going to happen to good people because of the massive amount of evil in the world. We are the one-third that fell. God's not judging what happens to you. He's judging what you do. And then we get to get, you know, an eternity of a place of peace beyond our present comprehension, a place of unity, perpetual friendship, a place of safety, security, certainty. Or you can go to the nether parts of the earth where all these ideologies that are on planet Earth today, all these governing ideologies outside of the Word of God, thinking you know how to govern yourself better than the Word of God, or down there in the nether parts of the earth, and you can have it. And you've exhausted your caregiver. We've prayed for you. We've done tons of podcasts for you.
Well, one thing that I find, one thing you and I discussed this morning, actually, was about our bodies and about being born and about how our bodies, yes, we are to treat them like perfect temples, but they are not perfect temples.
And we're in a fallen condition.
We are in a fallen condition, in a human condition. Our bodies are failing. They hurt. They ache.
Oh, you're not kidding.
We get sick.
See that firewood back there?
We get sick. Yeah. We die. So our bodies are not perfect. We were put here because
God wants our attention for correction. He would never do this to his children. He would never do it.
He did this to his children to prove a point.
He said, I repented. I had to put these people in the flesh body, but there is no other way. You get 100 years or less to get yourself to understand, I fell out of harmony with the universe. I could not be trusted. None of us can. That's why Jeremiah 17:5, you can't trust people. You can only trust God. And then we get to go to the millennium. It still takes 1,000 years for us to get cleaned up before we can get back to the eternal temple and get on with the affairs of time the way God made us. Okay, what verse are we on? Okay, we're in James. Okay, God knows what he's doing. He's getting rid of the world of evil. There was something more I wanted to say about the flesh bodies. Yeah, people want to blame God all the time for things that go wrong. Like I say, he's not running a daycare here. This is what happens. When mankind has to understand, we have a 100% failure rate at governing ourselves from the kitchen table to the world stage. Oh, things can go along good for a little bit, but just look at a map of the world and you'll see, hey man, this is a 100% failure rate. God is governmental perfection. Free will entities simply must be governed. And that's what God is proving to us right now. Wherefore my sentence is, this is my decree, or my sentence. Okay, this is my conclusion. This is James. That we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Yeah, we're not going to run around with rusty X-Acto blades and say you want to be a Christian. Okay, that's just ridiculous. But this is what churches will do. They'll put burdens on people. And now the burdens they put on people is even worse. Sugarcoating the word. and saying it's okay. Now watch this verse, man. Are you ready? Here come James and Jude, man. Like the crustiest guys in the Bible. I swear, if you see me in heaven, Tammy, I'm just sitting on a park bench with James and Jude, and we're just going to be just going at it.
I'm going to be standing there going... Just walk around. Okay. Go. Take the path.
Okay, here we go.
These three.
Okay, are you ready for this verse? But that we write unto them. This is what we're going to tell them: that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled with blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. What James is saying in 21 there is, do you guys even bother reading the Bible? Did you just skip over Jeremiah 4:4, Deuteronomy 10:16, Deuteronomy 36? Do you guys even know what circumcision is? And in the New Testament, what God is telling us? And here's someone. Okay, abstain from pollutions. And I don't know if we got time to go document. Anyways, abstain from pollutions. Pollutions is alis gimia, and it means... Okay, now, this sentence structure, poor James here from this mash, from verse 16 to 21, it is so obvious when you read the book of James, and when we've been reading the book of Acts up to here in chapter 15, that the translator went to lunch after verse 12, drank 6 to 10 beers, and then came back and did to verse 21, because it's the worst translation I've ever seen in my life. Abstain from pollutions. This, there's a definite article there, not a preposition there. Anyways, let's just read this how it is. Abstain, that means separate yourself from the ideologies that it is okay to eat meat that God's law forbids. We're going to go back, where are we finding these things? Back in... Isaiah chapter 65, verse 4. We find the same, this is where he got the mash from, the same grammatical construct there. We go to the word abomination through the Bible three times, even four. Abomination, abominable. Okay, four times. It's the word pig. Okay, unclean meat. Isaiah 65, 4, Ezekiel 4, 14, 11 places in the Bible, in the Quran, in the Apocrypha, you do not eat this animal. Over and over, it's polluted, tame, defile yourself, eating an unacceptable offering. Oh, we don't, people say, we have pork and we're not sacrificing to idols. Yeah, you are. Because you have to give thanks for the food that you have. You're sacrificing your thanks, your love, your mercy, your loving kindness to God. Thank you for allowing me this. That's your sacrifice. Thank you for allowing me this. He doesn't accept that you're eating pork. So that's an idol. That's your ideology. It's okay to eat pork because some pastor or minister that I've developed an emotional attachment to said it's okay. And that's a total lie. How do you ignore 11 verses in the Bible? Don't eat it. It has... doesn't have the metabolic capabilities to get the poison out of its system. It all goes into the meat. All those worms and trichinosis. It was the filthiest, dirty animal. One stomach, no sweat glands, short lifespan, and it eats garbage. And now look what they do to it. Let's see if anyone can see this. This is what they do to pork now. So you wonder why you're getting sick. Sodium nitrates, ractopamine. Hey, guess what? When we were kids, there was no autism in school. One person maybe in the whole school of 400 or 500 people. Now it's everywhere. They started putting ractopamine in the pork. It doesn't have the metabolic capabilities to get it out. And there's your mind flying at night because it's the same as meth. And guess what under? What did Hitler devise? Adderall. So that would be 8 carbons, 13 hydrogens, and a nitrogen. And then the methamphetamine is that. And then look at this, just warped out. And this is what they make meth of in these countryside areas. They do a wash and a deduction of that. And don't forget the sodium nitrates and the sodium nitrites that they dump in pork. Hey, unless you die of something else, you'll die of cancer because it's a 100% cancer-causing agent. And they get away with it because it is chronic. It's not acute. It just builds up. And you'll see since the early 1970s when they started doing that, the cancer rate among people in their reproductive areas has just shot up. Like these are diagnostic studies, not analytical studies. They cast doubt on the truth. Putting ractopamine in your food, in the pork, is a crime against humanity. And guess the only countries that do it? Canada and the United States. It's banned everywhere else. Pretty much banned everywhere else on planet Earth. Okay, so Isaiah 65. We have swine. That's kazur. Don't eat it. Your abomination. It's pig, unclean. And it's broth. That means soup with crumbled meat. It says it's unacceptable offering. Eating forbidden flesh. That's pork. Defile yourself. To defile oneself, you become an unclean vessel by consuming. And what we're talking about consuming here, it's the same thing that we see. Abstain from pollutions to idols, from fornication. Okay, this is things people are consuming. Okay, to be religiously consuming it with your own ideologies. And then the sexually consuming pornography or illicit sexual activity, that's your own ideologies. Remember what fornication is, porneia. That's the word porn. That's where we get porn from. So look at the keys in here. We find the word pig. We find the word porn. And remember Matthew 5, 27, 28. Looking upon a woman with lust, like indulging in lust, you can't say no to yourself, is the same thing. You're guilty right off the hop. God knows your thoughts, intents, and your actions. You lusty puppy, sitting there in your home office, which is nothing more than your masturbatorium. You damn well know who you are. And we'll talk about 2.5 million people visit the world's most popular. What? Visit the world's most popular porn sites. You know what, Tammy? It's very difficult when you're away for a while. Because I feel the couch moving. Okay, let's just get on with this here.
Well, like, I'm sorry. Like, what? Telling people about the masturbatorium.
It's not a home office, and you damn well know it. You're sitting in there with 19 pages of porn open in my home office. That's a masturbatorium. You can't tell me otherwise.
I know.
Okay? So this is what we're talking about here. Learn to say no to yourself. Be meek. That means to afflict yourself with self-discipline in the face of all these curiosities. No, you can't eat pork. No, you can't eat other things that are listed in God's word that says you can't eat it, because it's not only a sign of obedience, it's going to make you sick. It's just like saying, hey, I can do what I want. You can do what you want. You can do what you want in hell. Have a good time. Have a great trip. And it's the saddest thing. Most people are going there. Strangled and from blood. That means, okay, that gets a deeper, that's getting even deeper here. We're talking about polluted things. Things polluted here. And remember, the priesthood got polluted. Do you have a, in Ezra and Nehemiah, there's a huge thread. Hey, where's all the Levitical priests? There's all these people trying to be priests that aren't priests. And Ezra and Nehemiah are like identifying these people as nothing, them given to service. They just work their way in. These are these priests today that call themselves reverend, which is forbidden in the Bible to call yourself a reverend. To wear that ephod, that's forbidden in the Bible to do that. And to teach people sugarcoating the word. There's a church down there and we pray for them right on the sign. Reverend so-and-so, pork dinner. I'm just like, that's fake. It's a fake church. They sugarcoat the word, and that's what's happening here. Okay, pollution, strangled from blood. Listen, you got to clean your food properly. Blood is life force in the Bible. Let's just get through a few more verses. For Moses of old time, okay, we went over this. This was all preached before. Then pleased at the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, named Barnabas, and Silas, chief men. Okay, the posse's getting together. They're going out to do what they got to do. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren sent greetings unto the brethren. Hey, stay in touch with each other, man. That means email us. Email me and Tammy. We'll email you back. Stay in touch. Hey, we're all out there. You know, it gets lonely sometimes. Sometimes it's like, what am I doing this, man? And then you get a few emails. It's just like, oh. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It's a big deal when you email us here at thecompanionchapel@gmail.com. It's a big deal. Because we're trying to save up to get this media marketed, which we know nothing about. So we're either going to get scammed like I did before, twice, or, yeah. You know what I mean? So we'll probably take another chance, I guess. Okay, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with their words, subverting their souls, saying you must be circumcised. Don't listen to these guys, okay? Why don't you go at them with a rusty X-Acto knife? Okay? It seemed good unto us. But, yeah. Okay? It seemed good unto us being assembled with one accord to send chosen men unto you. Okay? Okay. Men that have hazarded their lives with these rusty X-Acto knives for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Stop it. I put bubbles on my nose. That hurt.
We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same thing. Stay away from that bathroom stall farthest from the door with that Jewish rabbi standing there smoking a cigarette. That's not Christianity. We're telling you straight up.
Okay? I'm going to be there with the rusty blade.
No, you're not. Okay.
Next.
For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than having someone come at you with a rusty X-Acto knife. Okay. 29. That you abstain from meats offered to idols. You can't offer a beef dinner, or you can offer a beef dinner to God. You can say, thank you, God, for this great T-bone steak that Tammy did a good job cooking, but you can't do it.
I'm a vegan.
You can still cook it, but you can't offer to God a piece of pork or anything else. He said, don't eat it. He said, don't eat it. It's a filthy, dirty animal. Oh, they're cute. There's no doubt about it, but you don't eat it. It doesn't have the metabolic capabilities to cleanse the toxins out of the meat, okay? You don't eat it. It's obedience. You can't just make up your own. What are you going to do? Hey, Jesus Christ, there's 11 places in here. I've been eating pork my whole life. Yeah, right. Good luck with that, man. Take those ideologies to lick a fire with you, and you can sit around with other people who just couldn't help themselves. And, yes, we should. Yeah, point over at heaven. We should have been able to eat pork over there. Yeah. Well, we're not going to listen to you, right? And everything else that you've come up with. So they were dismissed, and they came to Antioch, and they gathered the multitude together, and they delivered the epistle. Okay, so they wrote something down and delivered it, which, when they had read, rejoice for the consolation. Good! No more rusty X-Acto knives. 32. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren and the apostles, notwithstanding it pleased Silas to abide there. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching. What were they doing? Teaching and preaching. Were they doing a tavern-to-tavern tour? Were they hanging out at the booby bar? Almost said the wrong word. No. Okay? No. They were teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with as many as other people would come around. And some of the days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, okay, here we go, watch this. Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city which we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Let's go, let's do a tour here. And Barnabas was like, I'm going to take with me John, who's Mark. Mark from the Gospels. Little Mark here. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Well, guess what, Paul? Mark was busy writing the book of Mark, so I'm not going to say nothing, but I'm just going to do a little observation here. And so then they get into a fight, and the contention was so sharp between them, they departed asunder one from another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul took Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Okay, so they said, people were saying their prayers, okay, you guys aren't getting along about something? That's going to happen. Okay, but don't make it too, don't be throwing hands and don't be like, you know what I mean? Just okay, we don't agree. We got to pray it out. Other people came in and prayed it out. Do you see how you get an argument settled here? Other people came in, prayed it out, okay? And then they went through Syria, Cilicia, confirming the churches. That means we went in there. Are you guys teaching the Bible? Are you guys having a pork dinner from some fake reverend? What are you guys doing? You, rusty razor blade, get out of here. Right, Tam? Okay, I want to thank you very much for watching. Have yourself the greatest day.
God bless everybody.
And bye for now.